Now I'm going to go through the whole thing one time. All right. Lung Jung, which means what? In the foreign order. Okay. We've been doing Lung Dok. I hope I can remember everything. We'll see. Okay.
Are you going to snap us?
If I blow it, just correct me, okay?
Are you going to snap us in the room?
I'll just mention the room and the main features. We're going to do it kind of fast. I'm not going to, you know, dwell on it. But just so you know, I think it's auspicious to go through it one time, the whole thing, okay? So first do breath meditation. And then we'll start. I think in Dante it starts, he's wandering around the wilderness, you get lost in a forest, right? And think of yourself coming out of a dark forest onto a bank of a moat or a river, and there's your root lama. And think of them as perfect, beautiful, and waiting for you, and happy to see you, and happy to guide you. And they lead you into the boat, and as you're crossing the river or the moat, think about that boat as being the all the good conditions you have in your life, the health, intelligence, and all the outside conditions you have that make you a perfect candidate for tantric enlightenment in this life. Then the boat comes to the stairs at the side of the water. And you get out, your lama is at your side. Could be man or woman, guiding you up the stairs into the first room. And you're entering into the triangle, the tip of the triangle. And as you come in, you see the corpse first, the coffin, and you look down and see yourself. And you think, am I doing today the thing I would most want to do if I knew I was going to die tonight, which is death meditation? And then you look down, there's some scorpions, spiders, ugly creatures there, bad deeds, and some jewels. I put the bad deeds on one side of the face, the right side of their face, and jewels on the left side of their face, and you want to get rid of the bad deeds, bad karma, so you take them up and walk over to the left side of the room, to the next point of the room, and there's a fire there, like an eternal flame type of fire, and you throw them there and they burn. And then you think about the karmas you've done and that they are purified. And that it's good they didn't have a chance to get bigger or to pass on with you before you died, when you died. Then you go over to the right side, the other point of the triangle, and you're going to take refuge by putting on this robe, diamond robe. And the good deeds from the coffin and also your own knowledge protect you. And you think about being protected by your own knowledge and not responding to negative things negatively, which is protection. And all of these three are keeping you out of the lower realms. They're the activities for a person of lesser scope. You go to the middle of the two points that you've been at, and there's a yellow door, and you pass through that, and you're now moving into the medium scope person's activities. And you're in a hallway with glass windows on each side. And outside you try to imagine some of the things in this life that you still think are pretty good, and you see them as they will be 5, 10, 15 years from now, and you'll be losing all of them. Just pick one thing that you feel pretty good about that's been created by dirty good karma, and it's going to wear out. And you pass into a room of mirrors, which represents your understanding that all the negative things around you come from your own bad karma. There's not a single negative thing in your life or your world which you didn't create. And knowing that, now you're going to be careful with your vows, your freedom vows, your pratimoksha vows, especially the 10 good deeds. Try to do them carefully. You're walking through a mirror room which represents your understanding that all of these things come from your own mind, your own karma. And then you're walking very carefully among the glass, small glass objects to represent your keeping your vows carefully, keeping mindful of your vows. And this is how to get out of samsara for yourself. And that's the medium person's room and capacity. Then you come to the next door, it's blue, at the end of that room, and you open it, and it's a hexagonal room, six-sided. And in the middle you go first to the middle, and there's an incense burner on top of a small pillar, and you light it, you make sure the incense is burning nicely and spreading throughout the room. And this is understanding that it would be really strange to be enlightened, to get enlightened, to reach your own paradise, and to be aware that everyone else in the world was still suffering hopelessly. Then you turn back, and on the left as you came in was a box, a gift, a present on a table. Inside, four different objects representing the four kinds of giving. Perfection of giving. Then across from them to the right as you came in is a small bonsai tree, and the roots, the trunk, and the limbs and flowers representing the three kinds of vows: freedom vows, bodhisattva vows, and tantric vows. Then back to the middle of the room on the left, and you see a small pool of water, very quiet pool. Sit down next to it, think, look at it. I see like green moss and quiet, and this represents the ability not to get angry when the time comes. Then cross to the right side of that room, and some happy face or something, maybe a window, you look out, you see children playing or something, but something to represent being happy about doing good things, having a good time while you do Dharma. then back to the left side, up towards the front of the room, microscope with a label on it. Use me 1 hour per day, which is your meditation. You must practice 1 hour a day meditating, or you won't see emptiness directly. It's impossible. Then across the room, something to put under the microscope, a diamond, the object of the perfection of wisdom, emptiness. And just always remember, it represents about a 20-minute or 30-minute experience that, if you can reach it, gives you deng, guarantee that you know the day of your enlightenment, guaranteed that you know how long, direct perception of the bodies of a Buddha, direct perception of how long it will take you. All in a very short amount of time, okay? And this whole room, from the blue door up to the end of the room, which is a red door, has been the steps of the path, the Lam Rims, for a person of great capacity, Mahayana, Bodhisattva. Okay, you go through the red door, and there on the other side is this beautiful crystal mandala, diamond, sunlight pouring in from the sky. Like I see, what do you call skylights, and whole top, like a dome of glass, crystal, diamond. And your lama comes up beside you and steps into the middle and becomes a tantric dani. And then they grant you the four empowerments. And they give you permission to study tantra. And then, most importantly, they give you your vows, because these are the fuel or the ammunition that, if you keep them, you will reach the other rooms and the courtyard. And if you don't keep them, you won't. And if you keep them half-heartedly, you won't either. So they grant you, this is the big moment, they give you the raw material you need to get enlightened in this life. Teach you how to watch them 6 times a day, tundu, every 2.5 hours, checking. And if you don't do it, it won't happen. Then on to the hallway, a corridor going into the next room, and this is keeping those vows, watching those vows, keeping the book. Into the next room. This is a Kirim room, stage of creation. You're studying your sadhana, you're studying the, if it's Vajragini initiation that you had, 11 yogas, the 11 practices of Kirim. You're trying to visualize or pretend or to see your world and the people in your world in a different way. And then towards the end of the room, it becomes natural, and they start to look that way from their side because you kept your vows. Step into the next corridor, and I see like four butter lamps or something, but each one represents one of your tantric retreats. And I'm talking about a serious, strict retreat for at least 4 or 5 weeks, and completing each time the required number of mantras and practices in a nice, relaxed, concentrated way. In the final room before the courtyard, Dzogchen room, completion stage room, special, full of special practices to affect your channels and your inner spiritual body through external means, and then also through internal means. So you're working on it from two sides. On one side, you're striving to understand emptiness clearly and to gain correct tantric worldview. And then from the other side, you're undertaking special practices to work on the winds and on your spiritual body through your physical body. And you come out into the courtyard and you sit down. I like on the tile, there's water there, it's like a fountain, and there's a greenery, and there's pillars around the courtyard, and up above the sky, and the sun is shining down very strong. And you sit down and you face I see the fountain as the altar, and there's some kind of being there, and you pass into tantric enlightenment. Your body changes into exquisite and very, very ecstatic body of a tantric deity. Your mind is totally calm, totally happy, totally clean and pure. And then you're aware that all around you, outside, in the whole world, in the whole universe, there are bodies, there are beings that are you, and you've created them, and they're appearing in every nook and cranny of the world and helping people spontaneously. You don't even have to think about it. They're just there helping people all over. They're coming from you. And your lama is next to you, sitting next to you, and like very happy because now you're just like them. And we'll dedicate this virtue, okay, and pray that it touches every other living being. There's some kind of repercussions from having a time like this, and it affects many other people, whether you notice it or not. Pray for that.